nation of Sri Lanka, and I greet you amidst a world of opportunity and challenge and the chance to experience an abundant life. You know, I know a lot of people are doom and gloom these days, and you know, everything is bad and everything is negative. And on one side, sure, there's a lot of stuff going on that you know, is not so positive if you look at the external situation. But then at the same time, this is an incredible, incredible time to be alive, to be part of what God is doing, to be part of His true living body in the earth. You know, I want to spend a little time encouraging you as well this day, because you need to know that in the midst of all that's going on, this is the perfect time in all of history for you to be here. This was God's appointed time for you to be here in the earth. At such a time as this, it is no mistake that you are here right now. It is no mistake that you've had the experiences that you've had. It is no mistake that you have gone through the things you've gone through. All of them, as you put them before God, God shows and makes sense out of all of it according to His plan and purpose. You know, sometimes I think, you know, when we read scripture, it's a little bit unfair to the people that lived those times, what we read. Let me explain. Okay. Getting a small drink of water there. Okay, so say somebody like Abraham, right? Or somebody like Moses. I mean, what we read in, you know, a morning sitting down drinking a cup of coffee is 40 years of these guys' lives. And you know, if you look at all the things that God has actually done in your life, it's a lot. It's a lot. You've lived an incredible life, and He's done so many different things within and through you in such a short window. And you've gone through so much, and God has blessed you in the things that you've gone through. And rather than, you know, trying to, because, you know, I think because also nowadays, the way that things are and the way that people live, you know, we live in a very instant society. We live in a very fast food society. We live in a very big, quick, now, worldly, carnally driven society. And, you know, that has infiltrated people's thinking on too much. And rather than, you know, keeping a proper perspective on stuff, people have allowed it to affect the way that they feel. Again, this is the difference between God being God and people themselves being gods in their own lives. But the way they feel that God should do things or work with them. And see, God, He's more interested in the substance of your character. He's more interested in what's going on with you within. Not in your opinion of doing. Because see, here's the thing. The doing is secondary. The doing is really not as important as the internal state and the internal condition. Because, alright, the world that we live on right now, the world that you and I are walking around on, it was created by God. And this nature that we enjoy, the air that we breathe that's held in this atmosphere, it was put together by God for us, for mankind to enjoy. Now, you put the smartest scientists in the world in a room, you know, with every resource, they can't do it. They can't. And you can let them do for their entire lifetimes, and they can't get close to anything like this. They can't even they can modify what God has made. They can splice it. They can mess with it. But they can't do it. They can't create. So God has done this. God has created this. He puts all this stuff in place. All this stuff is allowed to continue and to circulate and to move and have its way in a system that God has put in motion. And all that he has done here, you know, he has done much, much, much more heavy lifting than you and I would ever do. So, now in that, let me also, you know, preface that by saying too, that God does have stuff for us to do. Yes. He has works for us to do. Yes, absolutely. But they're works led by his Spirit. They're the works that he intends for us. And they have plan and purpose. But the works are not... those are an extension of what goes on within. You know, had a dear brother write us, you know, a few weeks back. And we did get back to him. We did write him. We're catching up, okay? We're a little behind on the emails, but we do get back to people. And do write us, because we read everything. We do read the stuff that comes in, except from the stalkers and the psychos. There's a few of those that have been out there. Those just go into a separate folder. But everything comes to us. And, you know, and we read this stuff. We appreciate it. Thank you very much for writing in. And so we were writing back this brother. He had asked this question. Good question. Which was, okay, you know, the scriptures say that, you know, that that, you know, nobody's saved by their works. And, you know, and then, and so then he was like, okay, so why do we do anything? You know, that the why do we do whatever we do? And the thing is like when it comes down to the works that we do, here it is. You are justified by faith. You are made righteous by, you know, the faith, you know, of Christ. In Christ Jesus, you are made righteous. The blood of Christ redeems you. The blood of Christ saves you. That is how you have been made the very righteousness of God. So you've been made righteous by him. The works that you and I do are an extension and an overflow of the connection and the relationship that we have with him. So it is not that we don't do the works that we do because they themselves, you know, make us righteous or do anything like that. No. We do the works that we do because they themselves are an overflow of a grateful heart before our Creator for what he's done for us and out of a living relationship that we have with him. So, for example, what we do here with Faith Mix and what the team does with Faith Mix, we do it out of a grateful heart and out of a relationship with God. That, and that is an extension of that. So, you know, do we do this because this makes us any more righteous? No. Do we do this because this gives us brownie points with God? No. No, it doesn't. Do we do this because, you know, we've got everything figured out? No. But we do this because our Creator has done an amazing thing for us. He's saved us, redeemed us, brought us unto himself, given us a hope and a future, and out of the relationship that we have with him, a living, dynamic relationship, which, yes, God does speak to us. Our Muslim brother who wrote us not too long ago and asked, you know, does God speak to us and what does he say? Yes, absolutely. And when he speaks to us and when he gives us, you know, instruction and when he gives us direction, out of that instruction and out of that direction, we respond and we do what we do. But it's not by works that you're saved. It's not by works that you have been made righteous. The works that we do, we only do what we see the Father doing. That's our goal. Yes, absolutely. Just like Jesus, we follow Christ and Christ only did what he saw the Father doing. So therefore, if you do what it is that you see the Father doing, or you do what Jesus does, one and the same, that's the way to go forward. So, yeah, we just do what God has for us to do and call it a day. But, you know, your works don't save you. But we do good works. And we do them as God would quicken us. We do, you know, my own personal spin on that has been, we do what we can, where we can, when we can. And, you know, and leave it at that, you know? So, I mean, out of a grateful heart, you know, the team and I, we do this, you know, as a service, as something that we do to encourage the body of Christ. Likewise, other people out of a grateful heart, they pray for us. You know, they write to us. There's a handful of blessed people that chip in and help, you know, this go further and help us do more. Great. Cool. You know, and you know what? It's just when you do something along the lines of what God puts on your heart to do, there's a blessing in that. There's an encouragement in that. There's a release in that. You know, you will find that when God puts something on your heart to do, if you respond and you act on what He puts on your heart to do, there will be a release in the realm of the Spirit because of that. Something will break loose and break open in the realm of the Spirit because of that. Because you do that out of obedience unto God. I've seen that even recently. You know, God put something on my heart to do. It's very difficult. But as I was difficult in the natural, difficult in myself. But as I did that, I saw God break through. And when I responded in obedience to something that He said for me to do, in that process I saw God's hand at work. I saw the power of the enemy broken, and I saw something move forward in a good way. And that's the way that it works with us. When you respond to what it is that God has said, the curse is broken. The curses are broken over your life when you respond to God in obedience. When you respond to what He says. So that's why too, in the book of Acts, when people were saved out of witchcraft, and what happened? God put it on their heart to burn that stuff, those scrolls, those things that they were using for incantations, all that stuff. The scriptures talked about it being worth over 50,000 drachmas. They took that, put it there, and burned it. And what happened? Was it them? It's the process of them, the process of them responding to what God put on their heart to do broke that curse. The process of them responding in obedience to what it was that God said to them breaks the curse over their lives. Breaks the curse over your life. You know, those things, they'll only have a hold on you when your spirit, when your heart is giving itself over to that. You know, it will not be your master. Christ is your master. It will not be the thing that holds you. Christ is the one that keeps you. So, you know, part of this process of life is also learning how God works with you. Learning how He works with us. Learning to respond to His call. Learning to respond to that which He puts on your heart to do. And taking boldness. Also realizing that, you know what? He's not going to give you a stone when you ask for bread. He's not going to give you a scorpion, you know, when you ask for an egg. Or for something to eat. He is going to give good gifts unto His children. But in the process of Him giving good gifts unto His children, do you know what's good? Do you and I know what's necessarily good for us? Aha! See, again, back to that way that the world thinks, as compared to the way that a good father, our Heavenly Father, that sees and knows all things, thinks. Because His thoughts, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so His thoughts above our thoughts, and His ways above our ways. Okay. In life, you and I have been through difficult things. And the difficult things that we've gone through, as we've gone through them in and through the power of Christ Jesus, those difficult things have worked out. You look back oftentimes, they've worked out as a blessing. They've worked out as something that has been good for us, something that's been good for you. And had you not gone through those difficulties, been tested, been tried in those ways, had you not gone through that stuff, that you would never choose it. No, you would never choose it in yourself. But had God not led you through those difficult seasons, you would not have the substance of character in you. You would not have the strength in you that you now have. You would not have the metal in your backbone and the fire of God in your spirit. You would not have that had you not gone through the things you went through. So, had you not gone through those things, you would not be able to explain, you know, the hope that you have. And still, you know, that, and part of the way that we explain the hope that we have is because what we've gone through. You and I go through some stuff, and we know that God is faithful. Because we know that God is faithful, we can testify to that. You and I can testify to that. Because we know that God is faithful. We know that that He's able to do that which He has promised and that which He's spoken. So, for example, we talked about Moses, right? Okay. Moses, 80 years before the plan and purpose of God really kicked into gear for him. 80 years. 40 years, he was, you know, in Egypt, Pharaoh's house for the most part. I mean, he had a few months when he was born to, you know, to the Hebrew family, but in the Israelite family. But for the most part, 40 years in Pharaoh's house, learning the ways of the people, learning the ways of the Egyptians, learning all the wisdom of Egypt. All that stuff was there. All the pleasures of Egypt. Everything was there. He had it all, you know, there for him to be a prince. And in that process, in all that he was having and experiencing during that time, God had put something on his heart. But the way to act that out, the way to walk that out, even when he tried to force it, didn't work. And then he went and spent the next 40 years on the backside of the desert, where God was burning the prince out of him, burning the king out of him, making him, bringing humility and depth of character into his being, where he was just taking care of a few sheep for 40 years. At 80, God tapped him on the shoulder and said, okay, now's a good time. See, Moses had three cycles of 40 for his lifetime. He lived to 120. 40, 40, 40. 40 being built up, 40 being torn down, and then 40 actually fulfilling that plan and purpose that God had for him. And at 120 years old, he was fit enough to be climbing mountains. So if he was fit enough to be climbing mountains and finishing off his days like that, God can do something in you. If you struggle with what you believe is age or health or anything like that, you got to know that God has done incredible things before with those that have come before that have trusted Him. And He will do incredible things with those that trust Him in this day, in this age. So, you know, if you are not yet 80, you know, I mean, why can't God do that with you? Would you be up for it? You know, would you do the next however many years before God kicked it into gear for you? Is it about the results for you? Do you want to have all those external results? Or are you willing to allow God to do what He does and to do that work within? You know what? Moses had to have a work done within before he was ready. And God is no respecter of persons, and God is not in a hurry. He will take His own time to do with you what's necessary. And if there's things that are necessary to be done in your life, He will keep you in that spot until you learn the lesson, and that which needs to be done in your spirit has been done. You know, a good prayer to pray, this was taught to me by a friend of mine who's a pastor, when you're in difficult situations, is say, Lord God, would you please not move me out of this until I have learned that which you want me to learn and maximize the reason that I'm in this situation right now. So don't take me out. Take me through. Because you know, a lot of people, when they come on difficult times, they want to get out. They want to get out. They want out. I want out. Don't like it. Don't like it at all. I don't want to see this, feel this, touch this, have anything to do with this. I want out. Lord God, take me out. That's most people's prayers. No, pray to go through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, says the Psalms. Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They lead me beside the still waters. You know, though he's going through all these turbulent times, there's still waters within. He prepares a table for you in the presence of your enemies. These are turbulent things. And this is being written by David, man after God's own heart. Blessed by the very hand of God. Wow, what a life. What a life he lived. I mean, incredible. You know, incredible. I mean, huge highs, huge lows. I mean, one second he's, you know, being used by God to rescue the nation from the hands of the Philistines. At 16, he's slaying the giant. And then, you know, other moments he's running for his life, being hunted by his own son. I mean, talk about extremes. Talk about a set of life experiences that, you know, yeah, most people, they want to be king. Most people want to call the shots and order people around, right? But who wants to go through those things? Who wants to experience that? Who wants to know what it's like to feel those levels of betrayal? Who wants to know what it's like to lose their best friend, like he lost Jonathan? You know, I mean, do you want to know what those things feel like? Do you want to go through those sets of experiences? How far are you willing to go for the plan and the purpose of God being manifest in your life? How far? Because too often, people want the benefit, but they don't want what it takes to get there. You know, that place in Acts chapter 9, when Peter and Simon the sorcerer, or Acts chapter 8, sorry, Simon the sorcerer, saw that when the apostles laid their hands on the people, the gift of the Holy Spirit was imparted unto them. And when he saw that, he wanted that gift, and he went and he tried to get it with money, and he offered them money. He said, "Here, hey, give me money so that whomever I lay my hands on, here, I'll give you money and I'll buy this from you, and you can then, whoever I lay my hands on, they will be able to they'll receive this same thing as well." And they rebuked him, said, "You know, look, you know, hope, look, this perish your money with you. You got no part in this, you know, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money." Hey, newsflash to the world: there are things you can't buy. There are things you cannot buy. There are gifts of God that only He can give, but you can't buy them. They are priceless, and they cannot be bought, but God can give them. You know, too often people want the gifts of God, but they don't want what's attached with that. They don't want the price that comes along his path. See, the price is, look, you go all in with him and let it be what it is. That's the price. You know, that's the call. That's what's necessary. That taking place inside of your heart, inside of your life, that's also what will give you the greatest peace, give you the greatest joy in your existence here in the earth. That's what will give you the most fulfillment. It's a paradox, because the paradox is that the very thing that people think would give them joy and peace and happiness and all that is saving their lives in this world and being something in the world. And it's not. Because the people that have that, they themselves are, you know, they themselves are miserable. Rather, you know, because the people that are in the world, there's no peace with them. There's no peace with them. They don't have that which is truly important. And they can't buy it either. You know, you meet, I mean, for me, I've met people that have so much in the way of the natural, so much in the way of what people in this world say is important. And yet when it comes down to the things that are really important, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's the things that really matter. Because look, if you have peace in your heart, it doesn't matter what you earn. If you have joy in your heart, your life is a continual feast. Even the book of Proverbs says that it's better to enjoy a crust of bread in a house where there's peace than to be, you know, having this huge feast in a house where there's strife. It's true. Because you can have all the things that the world says are important, but if you have no peace in your house, no peace in your home, it sucks. God gives peace. God gives a hope. God gives a future. God gives that. Those are gifts that come from Him. Those are gifts that He bestows upon His children. Those are gifts that He puts in the hearts of anyone that will follow Him. Peace, joy, forgiveness. Gosh, what a gift forgiveness is. When you forgive, you're the one that's set free. Do you know that? The people that choose not to forgive, they're the ones that are held hostage. Again, another paradox. People think that, oh, okay, I'm going to hold on to this thing. I'm just going to punish this person in my head for the rest of my life. You know who's suffering is you. You know the person suffering every day, day in and day out, when you hold unforgiveness in your heart? It's you. It's you. You're the one suffering. Now, forgiveness is contrary to human nature. Yes. Forgiveness is contrary to your flesh. Yes. Forgiveness is contrary even to the soulish man. Yes. But forgiveness is made possible by the work of the Holy Spirit in you. That's why when you pray and you say, Lord God, would you please, please quicken me? Would you please enable me to do what your word has instructed for me to do? So you've instructed me in your word to do something. And according to your word, Lord God, according to the instruction that you've given, I want to do this. So Lord, would you please quicken me by your spirit to forgive? Would you please quicken me by your spirit to do that which I cannot do in my flesh? I cannot do this in myself. Help me, Lord God, to do what you would have for me to do. And I'm going to trust you and I'm going to follow you. And he'll do it then. He will do that. He will do in you what you can't do. When you ask him to enable you to forgive, and you put it before him when you struggle with something like that, and look, every person on the face of this planet needs to learn to forgive. They do. Because you know why? We all get hurt while we're here. And we all hurt other people too. Even inadvertently, even unintentionally, you will still hurt other people. Just like stuff on this planet bumps into each other, because we live in this very dense paradigm where things can only occupy the same space, or can occupy the same space. There are other dimensions where things don't bump into each other like this. But in this one, everything hits each other. So, you know, inadvertently, you will bump into somebody else and you will hurt them. You'll step on their toe. And you need to forgive, and they need to forgive you. And how do you forgive? Well, you forgive because the Spirit of God enables you to forgive. You forgive because you also realize what's real. See, here's something in forgiveness. When you realize who you really are, it changes everything. See, your eternal soul, no one can touch that. That belongs to our Heavenly Father. Your eternal soul belongs to Him. Nothing can touch it. Nothing. So no matter what anybody has done to you, no matter what anybody has done, the worst thing you could ever come up with, no matter what's been done, it has been done to your flesh and it has been done to your soul, your mind. But it has not touched your spirit, that eternal part of you. And that is what carries on. That's what carries on. Your spirit is what carries on. So, because your spirit is what carries on, and that's what's real, you can forgive. Because really, in the end, they haven't been able to really do anything to the real you anyways. The things that they've done, they've done hurt to themselves. Yeah, they have. But you can forgive them. God will equip you to forgive them. And as He equips you to forgive them, you can release. You can let go. You can pray for your enemies and those that persecute you, those that spitefully try to use you and do all manners of evil against you, you can pray for them. In Jesus' name, you can even seek to turn around that which they intended for evil, and God will work it for good. Should you have wisdom in your dealings? Yes, you should as well. Because God does want you to have wisdom. Look, there's no sense in you being shot at if God doesn't want you to be out there on the firing range, all right? So you need to have some wisdom. I sometimes see people doing things that, look, God never called them to do it. They put it upon themselves because, again, of a false paradigm. Again, a false framework of what they think this whole thing is. Plenty of times we get shot at for God's reasons and God's purposes. So let those be real. Let those be what you experience and what you have to go through. Don't allow the rest of it to the extra stuff that people make up. Don't allow that to be your frame of reference. Forgiving. And you know what? Rather than, you know, waiting for this big moment to forgive, just forgive every moment. You know, rather than waiting for this big, you know, there's people that kind of their, I know some people like this. Their plan was, if you talk to them, if they'll actually talk to you about this kind of thing, their plan was, okay, they're just going to do their own thing, live their life their own way, do whatever it is that do that whole thing. And then, when the time comes, on their deathbed, they're going to get God, is the way they would put it. They're going to now get God. And there's a huge delusion in that thinking. Because, and incidentally, for them too, they would, at that time, they would, you know, forgive and try to, you know, check all the boxes so that they know that they're going to heaven. And, you know, they miss it. They miss the point. I mean, yes, sure, God does do incredible things with people on their deathbed. And does do incredible things with any heart that's at any moment in time in this life willing to turn to Him. But they miss it. They miss what freedom is now. They have a misconception and a misunderstanding at this moment right now of what God has intended for them. What's intended for them and for their hearts. They have a misunderstanding of that. They don't realize too that instead you don't have to be a bondage to unforgiveness all the way up until the time that you die. So that you're going to be alive and be miserable and be living in hell, and then you're going to die and go there? Hoping for that one moment to stop and to then, let go of stuff, have this moment. No, it's, look, when you forgive and you make it a practice, you none of it holds you. When you don't forgive, you become very heavy. You become very dense. Your heart is weighed down. You hold things in your heart. When you live in a place of forgiveness, you become very light. You become very free. And you also realize that that which was done against you doesn't hold you. That which was done against you has no power over you. See, when you live in unforgiveness, that has power over you and power in your life. But when you forgive, you strip that power away. You break that curse off your life. The torturers have no more access unto you, because now you're living in a different place. You're living and operating from a kingdom dimension rather than a worldly dimension. The world is bondage. The Spirit of God is life and peace. You're operating in a place of life and peace. And this blessing is now flowing into your life and making that difference and that change in you. So God will bless you, but you got to trust Him in His Word. So, you know, these are all things that are part and parcel of the abundant life that God intends for you. The abundant life that God intends for you. God intended that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you to have, to know, to experience the abundant life. And that process of you experiencing that is also taking God at His word. When He says something, you do. When He quickens you a certain way, you go with it. And you trust Him. And, you know, even as we talked about when we started this audio, was this is an incredible time. An incredible time to be alive. An incredible time to be part of what God's doing. You need to get in with that. You know, go forward with what God has for you. Look, what we're doing here, this is part of what God has for us. You know, and you know, some people out there, you probably will be participating with us in a greater way in time to come. We know that we keep in touch with some of you, and some of you are, you know, even more than others. And some of you, you know, you really encourage us in the things that you say. You really encourage us in the track that we're in. But, you know, as time goes forward, you know, God has something for you, even as God has something for us. And as we fulfill His plan and purpose for each of us individually, that is the body of Christ at work in the earth. That is God at work in and through you. And that's what you want. You want Him to be at work in and through you. And that comes on His terms, His way, His time, His timing, His kingdom come, His will be done. In Jesus' name. And with that, amen. God bless you guys. You know, we appreciate you very much. So write us. You must write us now, okay? Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Very simple, very easy. Or you can also write us through a Facebook page. Just search for Faithmix, one word, and you will find us. Write us, say hi. That's the least you can do. That, pray for us, you know. And if God puts something on your heart to chip in, great, chip in too. All of it carries on. And just do what God asks for you to do, all right? And know that we love you and we bless you in Jesus' name. With that, keep on keeping on. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye. Thank you.
Thank you.